Amen. A wonderful reminder of what we should focus on. There is a day coming when the great harvest will be reaped. And who can tell the souls who will be saved? Let's get involved and step out by faith this month to be more involved in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. Well, we're in the book of Acts chapter 16 this evening. Now, since it is our missions month, we are going to continue to look at the miracles of Christ. But for this month, in the evening, we're going to look at some miracles on the mission field. Amen? Some miracles on the mission field. Now, they're still miracles of Christ, aren't they? Amen? Every miracle. Remember when the Lord gave His great commission? So we're in Acts 16, verse 23. Remember when the Lord gave His great commission? He told them and He tells us to go. But then the wonderful promise is, I am with you always. And the Lord sent them forth and He is worked with them and He works with us. And we are going to be encouraged in our faith as we see some miracles on the mission field. And tonight we're going to look at the miracle in the Philippian jail. The miracle in the Philippian jail, Acts chapter 16. Let's read verses 23 to 34. Acts 16, beginning in verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, that's Paul and Silas, when they were beaten, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them, notice, into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a wonderful, wonderful question. Amen. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same night, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. What a wonderful miracle on the mission field. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and encourage us this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, we are already in awe at the miracle that is your precious word. Thank you for giving us, Lord, the holy, inspired word of God, that we may be encouraged this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we know you speak supernaturally and powerfully through your word to change our lives, Lord, to revive our faith, and to help us, Lord, to trust in you more. Lord, help us especially this month to focus on our missionaries and their needs. Help us, Lord, to be excited to support more missionaries, to be excited if it's your will for us to go, Lord, and to also be excited to pray for our missionaries. As we glimpse this miraculous account this evening, we pray, Father, you would be glorified and help us and teach us by thy Holy Spirit this evening. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So here in Acts chapter 16, we find our two missionaries, Paul and Silas, preaching the gospel. Now, at this stage, they are in Philippi, in Macedonia, and they are preaching the gospel, and the Bible tells us they suddenly face some persecution. You see, they were just simply doing what the Lord had called them to do. The Lord had called Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles, so he went out beyond Judea to preach the gospel, to disciple believers, baptize them, and appoint pastors in the church. And Paul and Silas were just simply doing what the Lord had called them to do. Now, in Acts chapter 16, before they're thrown in jail, the Bible tells us that while they were there, they met a young lady who was possessed with a demon. And she was following them around everywhere they went and telling everyone who they were and that their message was true. Now, even though this demon-possessed young girl was speaking the truth, the Bible tells us that Paul did not let her continue, and he was grieved, and he commanded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the demon come out. And we're reminded once again, aren't we, that the Lord does not use possessed, demonic, unsaved, apostate, false teachers to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He doesn't. The demon was cast out, but there came a great problem because, you see, this young girl, unfortunately, was not only demon-possessed, but she was exploited by those around her. She was used by those who would make money off her. They used her as a fortune teller. They used her in sorcery. Because she was demon-possessed, she had certain powers of darkness, and her slave owners, if you will, suddenly lost their business. The demon had gone. The girl was now free, and her owners were angry. Those who made money off her were angry. And so they caused a great ruckus in the city and brought Paul and Silas before the courts and cried out and saying that these two are troublemakers. They're teaching things that are opposite to what we believe. And the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas were falsely accused. They were stripped of their clothes. They were beaten. And then in verse 24, they were thrown into jail. And that's where we find our two missionaries. Now, naturally, you and I might step back and look at this scene and say, wow, this doesn't sound like a miracle at all. This sounds like a disaster. But let's continue and see what happens. Now, I'm sure Paul and Silas didn't expect this to happen, don't you think? Now, they knew that persecution would come as witnesses and missionaries, but I'm sure as they entered the city of Philippi, they were expecting, well, how is the Lord going to bless us in this place? How is the Lord? I mean, how many believers will be saved, and where will the church start, and whose house will the church start in? Amen. And how will the Lord be glorified in this city? But suddenly we find them in a difficult, tragic situation. What does the Bible say? Well, they were beaten. They were beaten. Now, don't misunderstand what the Bible says. It was the Romans that beat Paul and Silas. Now, we know the Jews, according to their laws, they had a limit to how many lashes of the whip that they could lay upon someone's back. I think it was 39, if my memory serves me correctly. 39. If you go any further than that, then you'll be close to killing that person. And that was the Jewish law, but the Romans didn't have such a law. Who knows how many times Paul and Silas were beaten? We don't know. They were stripped of their clothes, the Bible says. They were in great physical pain. The Bible says in verse number, back in chapter 16, verse number 24, their feet were made fast in the stocks. So their feet were chained together. The stocks were like a vice-like device that stopped their feet from moving. They were unable to move. They were immobilized. And in this condition, beaten and locked down, no doubt it was a painful experience to have those stocks so tight that you couldn't move, they threw them into a prison. Well, what kind of prison was it? Well, the Bible says it was an inner prison. You see, this was a prison cell unlike the other prison cells. This was the darkest, deepest, coldest prison cell in the prison. We know it was dark because when the jailer comes running to the jail later on, as we see, he calls for a light. That means there was no light in the prison cell they were in. They were in darkness. They were in pain. They were in stocks and unable to move. We could say that this was like being in maximum security confinement. Not just in a maximum security jail, but within that jail, being in confinement, in solitary confinement. And how would you and I have felt in this state? What would you and I have done in this condition? Absolutely. You and I would be tempted to despair, to cry out to God and say, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen? We don't deserve this. And maybe just sleep and give up. But notice what happens in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that at midnight, what did they do? They prayed and they sang praises to God. Now, what is the first miracle we see in these passages? Well, I believe the first miracle in this miracle on the mission field is the miracle of God's grace. Amen? The miracle of God's grace. Because you see, what took place in Paul and Silas's heart was not a natural response. Would you agree? I mean, naturally, what would you and I do? We would cry. We would break down in despair. We would encourage whoever we're with just to help us to feel even worse than we are, and complain and say, well, this is it. This must be the Lord's sign that we need to stop being missionaries. This must be what the Lord is telling us. But that's not what Paul and Silas did. They did the opposite. They prayed and they sang praises to God. And church family, this is not a natural response. This is a supernatural response. This is the evidence of God's miraculous grace at work in the hearts of His believers, His witnesses, His people. 2 Timothy chapter 3 reminds us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, we'll all suffer persecution as Christians. The further we step out to be a witness, the more persecution will come. And what will you and I do in those situations? What will the missionaries that we support do in those situations? Well, we, just like them, and just like Paul and Silas, we need to depend upon the grace of God, don't we? The grace of God. Well, what is God's grace? Well, it is His supernatural power, His enabling to live the Christian life and to rejoice, in this context, in the difficulties. To rejoice in the difficulties. You see, before we were saved, I don't know about you, but I tried to get out of every difficulty. Any difficulty that came my way, well, I tried to get out. That's true. We still do. We have a natural man. We have a natural flesh that rebels against any trial or difficulties. But we also have a new man, the Bible says. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and suddenly we are placed into Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, and He is in us. And we have a new nature that is not only able to endure trials, but to rejoice in them. You know, it's one thing to go through difficulty and to say, all right, hit me as hard as you can. I can take it, and I've got no problem with it. Do your best. You know, that's not relying on the grace of God. That's just you and I and our pride saying we can handle it. No, relying on the grace of God is you and I, like Paul and Silas, saying, Lord, we believe You're in control. We know You've allowed this situation for a reason. And Lord, we're going to trust You and rely on Your strength to get us through. You see, relying on God's grace is not just bearing the difficulties, but rejoicing in them. Isn't that what we see Paul and Silas do? A wonderful example for you and I. Now, these believers relied on the grace of God. The grace of God. And you and I need to as well. You and I need to as well. You see, there is a supernatural resource available for the Christian. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. And as Christians, we are to live by grace through faith, trusting in the Lord for our every need. Supernaturally, He saved us, and supernaturally, He can encourage us and give us strength in every trial. Amen? But we need to rely on His grace. We need to be sure to, as the Bible says, be careful for nothing when we're worried, when we are fearful, when we are perhaps like Paul and Silas, completely distraught, we are careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. And what is the result? And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Now these missionaries are an example of two Christians whose hearts and minds were in the right place. Amen. Even though their bodies were beaten, even though they were physically in the worst place that you and I could imagine, in darkness, their hearts were rejoicing. Prayer and praise to God. Prayer and praise to God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. The miracle of the grace of God. This is a miracle. The miracle of the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Notice what God said to Paul when he was going through a trial, a physical trial, a thorn in the flesh. Verse 9 says, let's read it together, shall we? On two. One, two. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Notice, first half of the verse, God is speaking to Paul. Second half of the verse, Paul is speaking to us. And the Lord says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. What is God's grace? Notice how it's described, for my strength, God says. So God's grace is God's strength, let's continue on, and God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So God says when we are in a trial, when we are suffering, that's the perfect opportunity to rely on the grace of God. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we realize we have no strength in this situation, and we need someone greater than ourselves, we are in exactly the right position that God wants us. Why? Because He has a supply of supernatural strength to encourage us, to lift us up when we trust in Him. Notice what the Apostle Paul says, because of what the Lord said to him, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, that's another description of grace, the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's amazing. The power of Christ, the grace that God gives us, that's a supernatural power. Wouldn't you agree? Paul and Silas' response was not a natural response. It was a miraculous response. You see, the first miracle in this account is the miracle of God's grace in the heart of the believer. Let me ask you this evening. Are you relying on the grace of God daily? I'm sure we all struggle in that area. Because immediately when difficulties come, what happens? Well, the flesh says, I want out. I give up. That's it, it's too much for me. But the Spirit of God says something else. It says, look to the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Now, it's interesting. Before they praised the Lord, what did they do? Have a look at Acts chapter 16. Before they sang praises to God, what did they do? They prayed. Wow. I believe that's significant. I believe before they sang praises to God and they gave evidence of the grace of God working in their heart to lift them up, to rejoice in the Lord, something took place, something important. They prayed. Amen? They prayed. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. How can we claim the grace of God? Well, God's grace is available to us, His power and His strength in difficult times. How do we claim that? Through prayer. By coming to the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, I need you in this situation. Now, how often do you and I do that as Christians when we are in a bind, when we are suffering? We come to the Lord and the Lord says that He's able to lift us up by His grace. We can come boldly before the throne in a time of need. And let me encourage your church family to do that. But this being Missions Month, we also need to pray for our missionaries, don't we? We also need to pray for grace for our missionaries. You know, I think of the Lewis family in Israel. I tell you what, wonderful blessings we heard this evening, but they will also, as a result, experience the opposite. the persecution, the attacks, physical, spiritual attacks, the oppression. They are serving in perhaps the most difficult field in the world, the place where Christ was crucified, where he was rejected. And people are getting saved. So what do they need? Well, they need the grace of God, don't they? So that they can be encouraged when those difficulties come. And we need to pray on their behalf. You know, I think of Brother Cloud in Nepal. Again, a spiritually dark, wicked, oppressive, evil country. A third world country that does not have a Christian foundation. And those that call themselves Christians, so many of them are apostates. That's why Brother Cloud is in the ministry he's in, because he's experienced what he's experienced and he's realized that so many people call themselves Christians but are false Christians, are not Christians at all. And so that's the oppression that he faces, that the Christians face in the poor. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that they would experience God's grace and rely on the grace of God. And we need to come boldly before the throne of grace to ask the Lord to encourage them. Think of the Evans family. They need the Lord's grace, do they not? The Lord's strengthening spiritually to help them through this time of trial. So let me encourage you, church family, to pray for them. Pray for them. Let's not have the "she'll be right" mentality. Amen? "She'll be right" mentality will say, "Well, it'll all be all right in the end. Don't worry about it." Well, that's not going to help us to pray. Maybe it won't be all right in the end. You know, missionaries are just like you and I. They have the same bodies. They have the same cares about their family. They have the same desires for the Lord. They have the same weaknesses. And we need to help them to continue on in the Lord by praying for them. Amen? Praying for them. The miraculous grace of God. That's what our missionaries need. That's what we need. But we can be a part in praying for our missionaries. Now, let me just quickly add a thought. Paul could have gotten out of this situation. Paul could have gotten out of this situation and escaped the beatings and the imprisonment. Do you remember later in the book of Acts when the Jews were about to kill the Apostle Paul? What did he do very wisely? He lifted up his Roman passport, amen? He didn't literally lift it up, but he declared, "Hang on a second, I'm a Roman." And when he was about to be beaten in that prison in Jerusalem by the Romans, he said, "How can you do this to a Roman?" Well, he spoke up at the right time and he had a sense of what the Lord was doing in his will. But at this time, the Apostle Paul didn't. He gave himself up for the Lord. You know, Silas would have been taken and beaten. Think about that. Silas would have been taken and beaten. So you see, the Apostle Paul knew something of the grace of God. He knew that even though this would be a terrible experience, God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Sufficient for you, sufficient for me, sufficient for our missionaries, but without it, we cannot go on. We cannot endure. The grace of God. We need His miraculous strengthening. Well, that's the first miracle. That's the first miracle. Would you agree? All right, are you still with me this evening? The miracle of God's grace. We continue on to see the miracle of the earthquake. The miracle of the earthquake. Notice verse 26 in chapter 16. The Bible says, as they prayed and sang praises unto God, the prisoners heard them. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Now as Paul and Silas, picture them in a dark, deep dungeon, were praying and singing to God, their voices were echoing throughout the prison. Imagine this wonderful special item taking place in the prison. I would have liked to be there. Amen? And hear this beautiful singing to the Lord. They could never have done that if they weren't relying on the grace of God. The prisoners heard them, but what does the Bible say? Someone else heard them. Not the jailer, but God. One commentator wrote this. He said, God was so pleased with the praises and prayers of Paul and Silas that he answered their prayers with an amen, which was a mighty earthquake. And an earthquake suddenly shook the prison. Now, an earthquake, we understand, is something that takes place upon this earth. It's not uncommon. in the world to have an earthquake. There are many earthquakes taking place around the world as a result of a sudden release of energy in the earth, and the earth quakes and shifts. We know what an earthquake is. But I want you to notice that this was not an ordinary earthquake, was it? This was a targeted earthquake. This was a miraculous earthquake. Brethren, this is a miracle on the mission field. The miraculous earthquake. What does the Bible say this earthquake did? Well, verse 26, the foundations of the prison were shaken. God limited the earthquake. He didn't bring the prison down to the ground and everyone died, did he? No. He shook the prison foundations. What does the Bible say next? What were the effects of the earthquake? You can speak to me tonight. What were the effects? The doors suddenly opened. A miracle. And their bands were loosed. Their chains were loosed. That is an amazing miracle. A miracle of God. Now, I don't know the details of how they were chained. We know their feet were locked in stocks, but maybe those stocks were tied to the wall. And yet, miraculously, because of the miracle of the earthquake, the doors were opened, the chains were loosed, and now the prisoners were free. A miraculous earthquake. And friends, this is another supernatural work of God. Now, sometimes we live as Christians just like the average atheist. We know we're saved, but we think that God can't do anything past that. We're on our way to heaven and life is just a suffering struggle to the end. Well, my friends, we have a supernatural God. Amen. We have a God who is worthy of our faith. He is a miracle working God. And the Bible tells us who He is. He can do the miraculous in our midst. He can do the miraculous on the mission field, but will we be a people of faith that will trust in the Lord that He can? Will we pray for God to do the miraculous? Well, He did. He did. And these two missionaries experienced what the psalmist tells us in, notice, Psalm 104. Turn with me there to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 32. Psalm 104, verse 32. Notice the Bible says, He, who is God, looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. All God needs to do is look upon the earth. Now, this physical description is given to us to help us to understand. Of course, God is a spirit, but all God needs to do is think a thought, look a glance, and the earth will shake. Amen. God is in control of His creation. God is a supernatural God. He is able to do the impossible. And as we come back to Acts chapter 16, as we are reminded about the power of God, notice God's power at work, His miraculous power at work. What was the purpose of this miracle? It wasn't just to shake the prison. Now, have a look at verse 27. Who was woken up by the miracle? The keeper of the prison. You see, God opened the prison doors, set the prisoners loose, and He woke up the jailer. The jailer was sleeping, and may I say this evening that there was a lost sinner headed for hell in the darkness of his sins that needed to be woken up by a miracle, did he not? He needed to be woken up by an earthquake. He needed to be brought to his knees in order to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And God sent a miracle in order to reach out to one lost soul. Do you see the heart of the Lord this evening in His working on the mission field? You see, God loves the lost. He sent His only Son to die on the cross for you and I so that we may be saved. And friends, God is at work in the world. God is at work on the mission field. And God is doing the miraculous. And we ought to be encouraged in our faith when it comes to supporting missionaries. Friends, God is doing all that He needs to do. And we have the privilege of being partners with those serving in the regions beyond and being part of the miracle work of God. But God is looking, as we heard this morning, for a people of faith. How can we enjoy the miracles of God? Well, we need to be a people of faith. We need to believe that God is at work. We need to have the same heart of the Lord. And we need to pray for our missionaries that God will do the miraculous in their midst to bring the lost to the Lord, to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. See, God can work miracles, and He does. But we need to open our eyes by faith. We need to understand that when we hear these praise points from these missionaries, friends, these are living miracles of God. You know, what did God need to do to shake up this Rwandan whose name was John Baptist? I mean, you would think that kind of man would be born saved, amen? John Baptist. And yet he was a lost man in the promised land in Israel, needing to get saved. And what did God shake? How did God shake him up from his life in Africa, bringing him all the way to Israel? Who knows what God did? But God worked a miracle. Amen? And God works miracles around the world. Miracle of His grace in our lives and the miracle of the earthquake. So let's be encouraged this month to pray. To pray with faith, believing in God that He can do the supernatural. That's when prayer starts to get excited. Amen? That's when we come to Wednesday night prayer meeting saying, hey, you know, I used to come because I felt like I had to. But now I'm coming because I want to. Now I'm coming believing that God can do the miraculous and He will do the miraculous. And if I pray in the will of God and if I pray for the Lord's glory and pray by faith, then we can rejoice when those praise points come in from the missionaries, from the mission field, and pray for them. They need our prayers. Amen? You know, God sent an earthquake in Nepal. You know, God sent an earthquake to humble the lost. God sent an earthquake to bring people to their knees in order to be saved. We need to be praying for souls to be saved. We need to be praying for sinners to come to repentance. For the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is a miracle-working God. Maybe there's someone you can think of in your family right now, and you would say, Pastor, it's going to take a miracle for them to get saved. Well, let's pray. Amen? Let's pray. God knows how to shake someone up. Is that right? Absolutely. This jailer was shaken up. God not only loosed the chains of the prisoners and opened the prison doors, but then He opened the jailer's heart. And that's the third and final miracle we see in this account tonight. The miracle of the jailer's conversion. Because it gets even better, doesn't it? It gets even better. Notice verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Can you see the hopelessness in the heart of the jailer? My friends, he was at his wit's end. And it didn't just happen suddenly. I can imagine this jailer thinking to himself, this is the worst job in the world. I'm in this dark, damp dungeon. There is no light. I need to live by candlelight in this pit and look after these prisoners that stink. And I'm meant to be a Roman soldier traveling around the world, a life of adventure, as a soldier of war. And here I am in this hopeless, dark place. And immediately when he saw the doors were open, he said, well, this is it. I'm just going to kill myself. That's what he said. That's what he said. Because you see, he also knew that the penalty for escaped prisoners, according to Roman law, was death. So he didn't want to die a death of shame. He said, well, I'm just going to kill myself, commit suicide. That was his despair. But notice verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said unto them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, do you see the third miracle here in this account? The miracle of God's grace in Paul and Silas's life to overcome this time of trial. The miracle of the earthquake to break open those doors and to wake up the jailer. And then thirdly, the miracle in the heart of this Roman jailer. Now, be mindful of where this Roman jailer was at. He was just about to commit suicide, and now he comes to Paul and Silas asking about salvation. This was a Roman guard who would freely and willingly beat prisoners, and now he falls down upon his knees before the very prisoners he threw into the prison, the worst prison cell, and he falls down on his knees and he asks them, sirs, now that's a polite word, not scum, he says, sirs, What must I do to be saved? Friends, that is the third miracle in this account, I believe. The miracle conversion of the jailer. And he asked this wonderful question that you and I so desire to hear more often than not, don't we? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Has anyone ever asked you that question before? Let me encourage you to stay faithful. Serve the Lord. One day you will hear someone ask that wonderful question. I promise you, if you stay faithful in the Lord, if you serve the Lord, friends, you will meet people whom the Lord will bring along your way that will ask that wonderful question. And friends, when people are seeking after the truth, wanting to know how to be saved, don't take that for granted. I mentioned it already in this series. That's the very evidence of the miraculous work of God in the heart of an unbeliever. The heart of an unbeliever being drawn to Jesus Christ. Being drawn, and yes, we're not drawn in the sense that we have no choice in the matter. No, we are drawn to Jesus Christ, but we have to respond to His drawing by free will. But God is working a miracle to draw us to Himself in salvation. God is working miraculously in this heart of the jailer. He had no faith. He was an unbeliever. He was a pagan. He worshipped Caesar. He was loyal to Caesar. And suddenly, miraculously, he fell on his knees. And he was pleading with these men to show him the way of salvation. Friends, what an encouragement. Amen? What an encouragement. What a reminder that God is at work in our midst. And we need to simply be faithful. Now they said to this man in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him in verse 32, "the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Now it's one thing for someone to ask about how to be saved. It's another thing for someone to be saved. They need to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? They need to find out what the word of God says. And then we see the miraculous word of God working in the hearts of this lost man, this jailer, and as he hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, as he hears the truth of his sin, that Christ rose again from the dead and conquered sin and death and hell and can grant him eternal life by faith, the Bible tells us that he believed. For by faith, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, as we read this account, the Bible doesn't say that he repented of his sins, he put his faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and he called out to the Lord to save him once and for all. Doesn't give us those details. How do we know the jailer became a Christian? How do we know that this man was indeed born again? Well, have a look in verse 33. What does God tell us? In the first half of the verse, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes." Now look up to me this evening. All right, we're almost at the end. So here's the jailer, a man who would beat people without thinking twice and whip them till their backs are bloodied. Now what do we find the jailer doing? He's washing. He's washing the wounds of Paul and Silas. What do we see? Well, we see the fruits of repentance, amen. We know the jailer believed the word of God because he was a changed man. He was washing the very backs of the ones who he cast into prison. You see, this jailer had a change of heart, a change of mind, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation by repentance and faith, and now he was a changed man. See, God doesn't need to tell us he prayed a prayer. You know, salvation is not praying a prayer. Salvation is true repentance and faith in Christ resulting in a changed life. And the jailer was certainly changed. Verse 33 tells us that he followed the Lord in believers' baptism. He wasn't baptized in order to be forgiven. He was baptized because he was forgiven. Straight away, he wanted to identify with Jesus Christ. Straight away, he said, "Yes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want to go under the water to show everyone I believe in Christ's death for me. I want to come up out of the water because I want to show everyone that I believe in Christ's resurrection for me. I want to obey the Lord and honor the Lord, and I want to be baptized." Amen. And the Bible tells us not only was the jailer baptized, but also he and his house. He and his house. What a miracle. Not only did the jailer believe the word of God, and the whole house heard the word of God, but they too believed and they too wanted to be baptized. The miracles on the mission field have taken place in the past, and they still take place today. What a privilege we have in partnering with missionaries. Friends, God is working in the world. God is working, and we need to be encouraged in our faith this evening. Amen? We need to be encouraged, because there was a great miracle that took place here in this account. And God is able. He is able to do the impossible. Lastly, verse 34, as we close with this verse, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Can you imagine sitting at the table of that meal that the jailer set out for Silas, Paul, and the rest of those in his household, perhaps family, friends, or servants that he had in the house? Can you imagine being at this meal? You know, I can imagine Paul and Silas rejoicing, amen? Thanking and praising God for his miraculous grace to help them not to despair and to give up, but to rejoice, to sing praises to God, to be a wonderful testimony and a witness. I can imagine Paul and Silas talking with the believers and encouraging them to trust in the grace of God. I can imagine the jailer praising the Lord for the miraculous earthquake that he sent. Praising the Lord for waking him up out of his sin. Amen? I can imagine the jailer rejoicing. I can imagine all those around him and the jailer also rejoicing, and Paul and Silas with them, rejoicing in the wonderful gift of eternal life. The wonderful gift of salvation. No wonder the Bible tells us that they all rejoiced. Amen? The whole household rejoiced, not just the jailer. Everyone rejoiced. Brethren, we need to be encouraged tonight to rejoice by faith. That's the only way we can do it. Look, I'm not in Israel, I have to admit. When we read these letters, we're not there. Have you noticed? And if we don't pay attention to the letters, well, we miss some great blessings. And I tell you what, there are miracles in our prayer request sheets. Amen? There are miracles on these prayer letters, in these prayer letters. And by faith, we need to be encouraged and to understand that the Lord is doing a work. The Lord is doing a great work, and we are invited at Coastline Baptist Church to be a part of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. How do we reach the world? Where we surrender to go. Amen? And if God doesn't want us to go, then we stay and serve the Lord here on this mission field. We surrender to give financially. Amen? Make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, the Bible says. Use money to make spiritual friends. Give to missionaries. Amen. So that they can go, they can be supported, and you can take part and have a part in the work of God, the miraculous work of God. And then praying for our missionaries. Let me encourage you to pray by faith this month. Let your faith be encouraged. Pray by faith, believing that God is at work, and He is. Now, if we can take some things personally away for us in our lives from this message, that's great, but the focus is on missions. Amen. We have a part. Amen. We have a part. And let me encourage you to come Wednesday night prepared to pray, excited to pray. Amen? The prayer of faith. It's important to have faith. The prayer of faith is a prayer the Lord will hear. We need to pray. Our missionaries need a miracle just like you and I do. And let's rely on the power of God.